How often have you heard the preacher complaining bitterly that they could find no plausible connection between the obscure readings set for the evening service? Tonight, as I'm sure you will notice, our second reading starts with Jesus, quoting from Isaiah chapter 61. Our first reading, a connection so obvious that even I couldn't miss it. And our second lesson, Luke tells of Christ's return from his sojourn in the desert, where he resisted the attempts of the devil to subvert him from his mission. He returned, we are told, filled with the power of the Spirit. And he starts teaching in the synagogue. We are told he was given and read from the role of the prophet Isaiah, starting with the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." As I said, the observant of you will have noticed that we've already heard those words once before. Jesus goes on to suggest that this passage foretells his coming. But think back to what happened before he left the desert. Have you ever been tempted? I don't mean trivial temptations, like having a second slice of cream cake, or taking a nap during the sermon. I'm talking about serious temptations, similar to ones that the devil put in front of Jesus. I'm thinking of temptations to believe in the writers of modern day tempters such as Richard Dawkins and Stephen Hawking, who propose that we humans are all powerful. We don't need a God. Indeed, God doesn't really exist. All these modern tempters, the false prophets which we were warned of in both the Old and New Testament. Passages like Matthew 24, verse 24. False prophets will appear and produce great signs and omens and lead astray. Of course, it should be easy for us here to refute temptations like that. For after all, it's only a few minutes ago that we stood and declared, "I believe in God the Father, in Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost." But what about those on the fringe of the church? Those who have not encountered either God or Christ. They have no easy defence against the temptation to believe in the irrelevance or non-existence of God. They need help unless they are led astray. And the church must be the source of that help. If we've been tempted and resisted, we, just like Christ, should be filled with the Spirit and enabled to do his work. We need to be strident in refuting the message of the false prophets. Last first evening we celebrated the Feast of the Ascension. In his sermon, Vince posed a question. What would you have felt if you had been there? Now this is, odd enough, something I've been puzzling about over the past few weeks. What did Christ's closest followers think of the events of that first Easter? The man they had followed for the last 3 years, their friend and teacher. The man they thought of as the Messiah, sent for Israel. He'd been put to death as a common criminal. They had watched as he was buried and sealed in a tomb. The dream was over. Then, the impossible happened. He appeared to them, talks and eats with them. They must have been confused, and I guess frightened. No wonder that Thomas, at least, could not believe what he was being told, without seeing and feeling the body of the risen Christ. Then, Just as they got used to Christ being back with them, his used human presence leaves them for good. Would they have felt joy? A deep sense of loss? Or if incense, would they have felt excitement? For this was just the beginning. But I doubt if they recognised it as a beginning at the time. We need faith of those first followers of Christ. Theirs was unshaken, based on what they had seen, what they had shared. We need to base our faith on what they tell us, and what they did, and what countless disciples of our Lord believed, lived and died for over the past 2 millennia, backed up by what the Spirit tells and directs us. If the Feast of the Ascension represents an exciting new beginning to us, we need to follow Jesus' example. Speaking to anyone who will listen to the word, generosity, the love of the tripod God in whom we believe, and backing it up by the way we live. We could, of course, start by telling of the God that both Isaiah and the psalmist talked about in our first reading and psalm tonight. Above all, if we are to be witnesses to the faith, to those who have yet to meet God in person, we need to counter the messages spread by false prophets. We need to stop cowering on the sidelines and stand up for the God we profess to serve. Are you up for the struggle? Or is the mind with it, but the body weak? Amen.